Welcome, Savvy Seeker, to the Spiritual Phoenix Podcast. This is your audio oasis and paranormal portal. You can experience legendary guests, thought-provoking tarot readings, astonishing astrological forecasts, and exposure to ideas intent on igniting your unlimited inspiration. Subscribe today to keep your fire burning. One last thing, you are encouraged to reach out and ask questions. Become a part of the show. Now, please enjoy today's episode. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We have Stephanie Capone here with us today. Stephanie, what is up?
Hey, Ross. I'm great. How are you doing?
Like I said before we started talking, I'm going through a little bit of a difficult time, but I'm just going to show up and see what we can accomplish today. So real quick, this is the Fool's Guide to Tarot. Stephanie and I have been picking a tarot card, one of the major arcana, sequentially, discussing it, and then discussing the relative minor cards to it as well. Correct me if I'm wrong in that, because my brain is not firing on all cylinders.
Nope, that's exactly what we've been doing. So we want to say thank you to everybody who's been tuning in along with us. I was just telling Ross I've got some really awesome feedback this week. I met a stranger at a party who recognized me and told me that she really loved the podcast. And one of my regular tarot clients at Jill Lindsay, where I read in Brooklyn on Sundays, popped in to tell me that she really loved the podcast. So thank you guys so much for listening. We really enjoy, you know, talking about this and diving deep into it. It helps you, it helps us, and that's the goal, right?
Yeah, I also want to give a shout out to the person who left a review as well. Thank you all for tuning in. It really made my day to have Stephanie tell me that and to share about the review. So I'm really grateful for all of you, just as Stephanie had expressed as well. So the last time we spoke, we had talked about the Chariot. What is a quick recap of the Chariot?
So the Chariot is, it's the momentum to make change. And we talked about the sevens and how they're kind of stagnant. They're like not moving, but they're the momentum to make the movements, which we really see the movement in the eights.
Okay, yeah. I'm really curious to get into the eights, but real quick, we have to address that you have a special co-host with you.
Oh, yes. Today I'm joined by Ellie the Cavapoo. She is my very dear friend Todd's doggy that I'm babysitting. And if you don't follow Todd on Instagram, his handle is at your diagnonsense. He's an incredible sex therapist here in NYC. And his Instagram is like really next level. So we have his puppy here today while he's on a retreat in Ibiza.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Well, glad to have you on the show, Ellie. And I look forward to your tarot insight. Renji the pug, who is on like last week, I want to say it was, did not really give us that much information. She was not very participatory, so we look forward to what you have to share. Well,
Renji's energy is just, it's very it's very welcoming, it's very nurturing. She's a good space holder.
That's a good way to turn it around for me talking shit on my dog. I don't want her to hear this and pee on my bed or something. So let's get into the Strength card. What does the Strength card represent to you?
Well, the Strength card is a card that I hold close to my heart because it represents Leo, and I am a Leo sun and Leo Mercury. So I'll show you. I'll hold up my Moon Boy Tarot card.
Oh, wow. I really like that a lot.
So you can see that she's standing there with her arms open. And she has her heart exposed. The Strength card is about being strong, but also being vulnerable and soft, which I think is a very Leo characteristic.
I really like how you expressed that on your card, because for me, I've definitely found in my personal life, vulnerability is like the ultimate strength. And trying to act very, very tough, like this false sense of strength that we have in our culture, is like the ultimate weakness, because any kind of real adversity shows how frail that posturing is. So I really like how you've chosen to express it. And then getting into the eight real quick too, because I like how you expressed it in your card. Eight represents infinity, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes.
And how does that translate into the symbolism of your card specifically?
Well, I love to think of it kind of like the law of conservation of energy, that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed. And I feel like strength in a traditional sense of what we consider to be strong is to be able to kind of transmute energy. You know?
Yeah, I really like that whole premise. I know for me personally, transmuting energy really is the alchemical process that people were talking about. Mm-hmm. And that really is what I believe we're all here to do, is how to learn to begin that process. But it takes a lot of strength and vulnerability to actually do it, because it's not pleasant to really process our emotions. And oftentimes what we run from is what we need to give our attention to the most. And our culture really likes to play off of having people run from them emotions, from those emotions, or from finding solutions that are really unhealthy and destructive in the long run to avoid them. So,
yes, there's been such a big like push to call attention to vulnerability, and I think that strength and vulnerability are two things that really go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because in, you know, historically, being strong was being able to not crack under pressure and basically be able to build armor for yourself. And so that's why I think that in the strength card, it's being able to be strong while de-armoring yourself.
Hmm. Yeah, tapping into like the actual strength instead of the showing of strength or the kind of constricting aspect of it, like not being in your turtle shell or whatever.
Exactly. To be able to face whatever's coming up for you, and to tap into your own vulnerability, tap into your heart center, and take the necessary steps that aren't pleasure-seeking steps, but they're growth and evolutionary steps.
Hmm. That's interesting when you talk about that too, how it's where it's in position with the tarot, with the card that comes after it, then, and really looking at it from that lens. But we'll get into that card in another episode. One of the other things that I want to talk about before we maybe get into the minors, unless there's other aspects you want to touch on though, one of the things I wanted to ask about, this card is also switched with justice sometimes in some decks, correct?
Yes.
Do you have any theories, personal theories, as to why that is, or have you come across anything that would say why that is?
You know, when I was learning tarot, it was discussed, but I love strength being the eight so much, and I love justice being 11 so much, that because an 11 is, you know, the balance. I feel like it's, for me, it's just always, it's always been. So if anybody has ideas on that, that they'd like to share with us, because we're not saying that the way that we read is correct. Everybody has their own unique way of doing something. And so we would love your perspective if you read it as justice being eight instead.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I came up with just while we're having this conversation too, and this is just a theory that popped into my head, so it might be total shit, is so justice could come before the hermit in some senses, because it could be like having this karmic situation play out, and then that causing you to be reflective, and then getting the Wheel of Fortune, kind of these events as a result of that being reflective, leading you to be a stronger individual or more vulnerable afterwards. Like, I could see that making sense in some sense, but I'm curious, kind of like you had said as well, what other people's perspective is on it. But that's the best I can think of off, like, pulling it out of the thin air.
I appreciate your perspective, and I don't disagree with that. That makes perfect sense. I think I just for me as a reader, it always made sense that it came after the chariot. Because it's that momentum that propels us into our own strength. And then sometimes you having the strength to, like, we'll talk about the Eight of Cups, but walk away and then going into that hermit space. All of the eights are these action-oriented cards, and I feel as though they make the perfect transition into kind of stepping away, and stepping back into yourself, and then going into the Wheel of Fortune, and then the cycle shifting, and then justice being served from a place of wisdom and the balance between your heart and mind.
I like that. One of the things that I want to say, this is my last point on this discussion, or last thing I'll bring up. I'll give you time to respond, obviously, but I almost wonder if they're supposed to be somewhat cyclical or reversible, because if you look at it, the chariot's movement, Wheel of Fortune kind of would be movement, or at least how I perceive it as well. So maybe they're supposed to spin where if you're coming at it from one direction, justice happens before strength. And if you're coming at it from the other direction, strength comes before justice. Like, I wonder if that was almost intentional, or I don't know.
That's a very good point. I like that.
Yeah, maybe that's how I'm going to approach it now too. I don't know. Like, it's just curious to think about. Anyhow, I'm going to stop rambling. So we're going to get into the minor cards now. Which one do you feel compelled to start with?
Well, I guess we had just mentioned the Eight of Cups. So would you like to start there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I love the Eight of Cups. I feel like the Eight of Cups is one of those cards that there's really not a ton of questioning. It's pretty, its message is always very clear. You can see the Moon Void Tarot. She's got her coffee cups and she's out of there.
She says, peace.
She kind of says, kiss my ass. And but there, the action is in realizing that all of the things that are, you know, stacked up in those coffee cups, they weren't the thing. They were necessary to cause the action, but they weren't fulfilling in the way of what deeply the experience that we're looking for. So our girl goes off and she's like, all right, I'm looking for the ninth cup.
I like how you've represented. I don't have my cards out in front of me for the other deck, so I can't look at it in comparison because I'm ill prepared today, if I'm being 100% honest.
In the Rider-Waite-Smith, it's the figure that looks kind of older. It almost looks a little hermity. They've got a staff and they're walking away from the stack up.
Yeah, they're like, peace. Yeah, so cups are all about emotions too, right? So it's also about like not wanting to deal with their emotions in some sense, like not having the vulnerability or strength to sit and be present with them and just saying like, I'm done, right?
It's definitely leaving experiences behind, but I also feel like it's leaving behind the attachment to those stories, those emotional stories.
So it can be both healing and damaging dependent upon how people perceive it or where they're at in their own personal journey in some ways then.
Right. I believe that it's meant to be healing and not damaging. But then again, it all is dependent upon the cards that are around it that are telling a story in a reading. Sometimes we can walk away. I feel like if you get it in the reverse, it might be saying like, hey, are you throwing the baby out with the bathwater and walking away from something too soon? There might be a little bit more in those cups that are up for examination, or that you might be taking some of that baggage onto the next with you. Like, it's really leaving that behind. They're empty. They're no longer serving you. It's safe and it's time to move on.
What does Ellie have to say about it? She's checking out the cards.
She's like, hold, I'm trying to like play with her and talk to you at the same time.
Okay. I just saw her pop up. I'm sorry. I'm like so easily distracted.
It's okay. I'm like holding this little bone for her to chew on while.
I like how you kind of put it in a more positive light. I've never taken it as a positive card, but I can really see what you're saying about it. And maybe it's something I need to incorporate into my own understanding of it a little bit more. I think that one of the interesting things about tarot is so much of it is relative to your own psyche at times, like when you really begin to understand it, where you can cast all sorts of images on it that are true in some sense, but there's also a deeper story to it, which is one of the things I really found from having these conversations with you about everything is how similar yet different people's understandings of it can be and how like subtle those shifts really are.
Yeah. I agree more.
So the next card that we have, or the next card I have out, I guess, because I couldn't find the other eights and pay attention, is the Eight of Swords is what I have up here. So let's see what your Eight of Swords is first, if you don't mind. Ooh, I dig it. I like the open window, too. I think that's a very good aspect of it.
Thank you. I like the open window, and I like the fact that she's in a light background and the window is the darkness. Because I think it's really important that sometimes when in these prisons that we create, these mental prisons that we create, a lot of times we think that we're in something good. And we tell a story to ourselves that this is the right thing because we're afraid of that dark unknown and setting ourselves free.
I can definitely relate to that a lot. I like how you explain that. It's causing me to reflect a lot about my own life. No, I think that that's a very cool way. And I like kind of how you had the swords more so up in front of her than like behind her. Because to me, that's kind of like the blindfold would be shutting off her view of her own thoughts and being bound to it still in some way, but there's kind of that movement from the unknown that rests outside of the window.
Mm-hmm. And I like the windows behind her, and you can see the curtains are blowing and her hair is kind of blowing. Like you can feel, it's like that nudge from spirit and that nudge from our subconscious that it's like, you know, it could be different, but it's you and your thoughts about trying to make something be what you want it to be and have control. And that desperate need for control actually is what binds you to feeling stuck.
Yeah, that's been a big part of my own personal journey yet again. Not to dive too deep into where I'm at in life right now, but in regards to step work, I just finished up my seventh step, which is kind of turning over some of your character defects to, for me, it's the universe or whatever else is out there. And just kind of saying, you take control of this because I can't get rid of these on my own. Because the more I try to, the more stuck I get. But it's incredibly fucking uncomfortable to let go of all the defense mechanisms you've built up over the period of your life. In the sense of like, it goes into actually strength and the vulnerability of it and saying, I feel incredibly vulnerable now because I don't know how to deal with these circumstances without trying to utilize these things that have continuously proven unhelpful to me. So it's interesting to see that dynamic, especially how it comes up in conversation with right where I'm at. So
I think that's kind of always the way. And first off, congratulations on that. That's huge.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of tying right back into like the strength card? You know, having that infinity loop when we talked about energy not being able to be created or destroyed. It's like you give it up for transmutation and you ask the universe. I think that in the eights, a lot of it is the movement is taking that first step of saying, hey, you know what, this didn't serve me. I'm going to walk away. Hey, this, I feel the winds of change on the back of my neck, like, let's go. And you make the first move of saying, hey, I'm ready. And mm-hmm. then the universe is like, okay, like keep yourself open, like the strength card, and we're going to show you the path.
Yeah, I really resonate with that a lot. It's interesting how it all ties together. And like, it's cool to be able to filter these through real world scenarios. It not only makes me understand it better, but I think it gives people listening like a better understanding of how this all ties together and how the minor cards relate to the major card as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, I found the Eight of Pentacles and the Eight of Wands now too. Which one do you want to get into next?
Do you want to talk about the Eight of Wands?
Yeah, absolutely. I found that to be very invigorating looking at it.
Yeah, mine's kind of in line with the Rider-Waite-Smith, where it's the main message of this card is movement. Mm-hmm. And momentum. My keyword for this card is momentum.
Interesting.
I use this card in my readings as a directional compass, because sometimes it's upside down, sometimes it's right side up. I always read it as it means the exact same thing. I look at where those wands are pointing.
To what card they're pointing at next to it?
Exactly. So sometimes it's pointing back at the card to the left, sometimes it's pointing to the right, but it's saying like where should you put your energy? And where can the universe kind of pick it up?
I like that. I've never thought of it as a movement card, but I really can see how that is if you look at it kind of like the growth aspect of it, what way it's growing. Mm-hmm. I've always taken it as growth, but I could definitely see movement linked to growth. I like it. I also like how the light aspect of your card kind of embodies the life in growth, even though it might be kind of have a dark background to it or a dark border to it. There's still this kind of light airiness to it.
Thank you.
So in the traditional, or I shouldn't say the traditional, in the Rider-Smith-Waite, it has the little wands with the little sproutlings on it, which I, for whatever reason, I always trip out about the little leaves. Like I'm in love with the little new growths on it, because for me, it really is about growth and expansion, and it being about creativity. It's kind of about like creating all of these new opportunities and kind of like infinite potentiality of the life experience. Mm-hmm. But then the light blue in the background is kind of like communicating that infinite potentiality, is how I would perceive it. And then there's that little bit of water, kind of the emotional connection to finding infinite potentiality and things. And then the green hill in the background is kind of like tapping into the heart of being in line with your heart and making you how do I want to say this, feel the infinite possibilities of everything, kind of that open expanse, I guess, to it all. It's interesting because all of the eights, with the exception of the major card and the Eight of Pentacles and Rider-Smith-Waite, have water in them. And they have, a lot of them have hills in them too. Actually, all of them have hills in them. So I don't know. Maybe that's kind of like the obstacle of overcoming and needing the strength is represented in the hill. How do you feel about that?
I think that whenever, that's a really good point. I guess whenever I see in like the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, when there's multiple elements in the cards, it's like making sure to have like the grounded aspect and the balance of your emotions. Are you laughing at the dog?
She's like right by your microphone, and all I heard was her smacking her lips.
Oh man, all right, I'm gonna try to get her on this side.
She really liked what you were saying.
I guess so. I know. I wonder what her sign is. I have no idea. I think she's a Libra. So what I was saying before is that in those cards that have water and they have like the hills, it's like they have the sky. It's like they've got all the elements. So it's like, what is needed to propel? Like, there's a little bit of water, there's a little bit of earth, and there's a lot of sky. And you know that water feeds fire. You know, fire being wands can't breathe on its own. The more air you have, the more momentum you have. It's saying that there's still an important aspect of your emotions and being grounded in them.
I like how you kind of tied all that together. This is just kind of more of a question than it is anything. When they created this, they created it in the early 1900s, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yes. I wonder if the landscape is an homage to Italy or the Mediterranean in that time period as well. Do you know when it was, like, where these were focused at?
I don't know where the imagery, like why they picked those things, maybe because of its Italian and French roots. You know, like the Marseille and the Visconti decks were like the precursor to this, but I know that she drew these in Brooklyn. She went to Pratt.
So it could just be like honoring the Mediterranean roots, or when it kind of resurfaced in some histories, depending upon which timeline you follow for it.
Right. I don't have a huge understanding of Pamela Coleman Smith's reasoning and what her artistic background of doing that was, and maybe that's what Waite wanted her to do.
Okay.
When he commissioned her to do these.
Yeah, I was just curious because I've never really considered it before, and really looking at the landscape made me want to bring that question up.
No, it's a really good question. If anybody knows and wants to drop us a line about that, we'd love more information.
Absolutely. Do you want to move on to the Eight of Pentacles now?
Yes, let's do that.
I mean, yeah, my bad, my brain is all over. Ooh, I like yours, where it's them drawing and being studious. I think that's very true to your experience, I would say.
Yes. I love the Eight of Pentacles because it's creating something tangible in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing up over and over and over again and making the work, even if you don't know what the work is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you make a podcast and you show up to this every week, and I show up to drawing and writing every week, and every person shows up to something. I like to think of this as like the compound effect card, where a lot of people question, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right track? Am I on my path? And it's the effort that you put in over time compounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you start to see things. It's, if you're an overnight success, that success can leave you just as quickly.
Yeah, I definitely find that to be true. And this is one of those kind of affirming cards with everything I've been going through, one of the issues I've been having in life lately. So it's nice to see this kind of come up and be somewhat affirming in regards to everything. And the compound effect really is something interesting, where it's kind of like that snowball effect or whatever, where you continually create this body of work and you look back and you're like, wow, there's a lot more sustainability to it. And just briefly touching on the overnight success thing that you mentioned, it's so funny that people often see overnight successes in lots of people, but they forget the whole story of, like, they don't see all the back effort for most people. Not to say that overnight successes don't happen, but if they do, it's kind of like you had said, if they don't have that studious and creative daily work where they've created this foundation for everything, there's nothing to keep it solidified or keep them solidified. And that's why you have one hit wonders and people that, like, here 1 minute, gone the next. But it's the slow risers that kind of build from the ground up that have sustainability. I really like how you put it, though, and I think that's like, I think that card sums up your whole creation of your deck based upon my outside perspective. obviously I can't speak for you, but.
No, but it's, you met me when I had already had it out. But this is just as an example, creating that deck, it was like a 2.5 year process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't even imagine the work it would take and kind of refining your style and getting everything situated. At some point, I definitely want to make my own deck and have an artist help me with it, but not there yet. So definitely hats off to you on doing so.
Thank you. I think it really helped me deepen my practice with it by embodying it with my own story.
Hmm.
And also not being a perfectionist. This card is a lot about showing up to doing the work, but not being a perfectionist about it. A lot of people don't take a chance because they're afraid. And that goes right back into the vulnerability of the strength card, saying, you know what, I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm human, and humans are deeply flawed, and that's what we don't like about ourselves, but that's actually our strength is in our flaws, our experience. And don't ever let that keep you from sharing whatever your message is, because somebody needs to hear it.
I definitely agree with that. And I've found for me personally that like perfectionism is a barrier, like you had mentioned, but one of the greatest ways to get over perfectionism is just showing up and being vulnerable and saying, so what, I'm doing this because it's meaningful to me. Yeah. And eventually other people will relate with it if I continue to do it long enough. And like you said, somebody needs to hear what you've gone through. So it does come down to just show up and do the work, and eventually things will fall in line if you can get out of your own way and stop judging what you're doing.
Exactly. It's not just judging what you're doing, but getting out of your own way by looking at your end result of what you have in your head to be the end result.
Hmm.
And then psyching yourself out and instead breaking it into small little things. Like the way I did it was I started with the majors. So I did all of the majors, and then I did that 6 month tarot course called the Brooklyn Fools, and we gathered, and I was around in a group of tarot readers, and it was so intimidating. And every week we would build a group altar and we would bring something, and I think it was maybe the third week, so we were on the High Priestess, and I was like, you know, maybe I should bring in the cards I've drawn and put them on the altar and show people, hey, this is my experience. And so and then every week, and they would pass the card around, and I had like people like really judging my work. And this was before I shared any artwork on Instagram. I'd been a commercial artist and never put any of my own emotions and feelings into my art. It was just like, hey, we want you to draw this store, or we want you to draw these products.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like my first experience with like people touching my art in front of me and passing it around and then speaking up and giving me feedback about it. And I thought I was going to die, but not to go off on like a big tangent, but like, that's how these things start. It's like being really vulnerable to be strong and to share.
Yeah. I was going to say, actually, I don't think you went off on a tangent at all, because like, I really feel that it was relative to all of the topics that were contained within this, in lots of ways. So I think that was, I think it was right on point. I think that's a really good place to kind of end up talking about that card and start into the kind of the, my mind is just not firing like it normally does. What's it called? The summary of everything.
All right, Ross, we'll give you a pass today. You have been going through a lot. So thank you so much for showing up to this anyway, even though you're going through a lot of stuff right now.
Oh, this is something that helps me. I appreciate the acknowledgement for it. It is something that helps me, and this is something that I'm passionate about. And one of the great gifts of kind of going through my whole process has been the ability to show up despite circumstances and build upon the experience that continuing with my life after acknowledging things can be more helpful. Like, just real quick, I sat down one or two days of the past week and literally didn't do anything because that's what I needed.
And it, just to be vulnerable with the listeners, I have a mental health diagnosis, and it's bound me up before. So I have to acknowledge that, but I've also found for me that I have to gently push myself in order to overcome things so I don't stay stuck. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, but like, this is something that's good for me, that despite everything I'm going through, I can show up, because it shows how much I've kind of moved forward in my own life, despite everything. So I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to have a conversation. So
thank you. I am too. I feel like everybody's had some really big upsets and emotional things kind of happen, not only this year, but just this month was, I mean, June is better. May was tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that certain things are coming to light for people, and it's really rocking them. And a lot of people are feeling like, how am I back in this place that I thought I overcame? And it's kind of back to Eight of Cups. Like, if it were in the reverse position, it's like there's some stuff in there that is still needs to be worked through in order to fully move on.
Hmm.
You know, not to go too into my story, but I had just sat down to like drinks on my anniversary trip. I went away with my boyfriend, and it was our first year of being together, and we were celebrating it, and we drove to Woodstock, and we got out of the car, and we found a cafe, we sat down, and we were just having like a nice little, like, just ordered a little cocktail and some food. And I went to put my phone in my purse, and at that very instant that I touched my phone, I got a text message that, as I was sitting down to this and feeling really good that I was able to move on and move forward, that my ex-husband had gotten married, like, at that moment. And I was like, and it's just like, I felt like I was just totally, like, the wind knocked out of me, and, you know, poor boyfriend having to deal with that.
Well, it sounds like he's a good guy to be able to show up still regardless, so.
Yeah, but it's just stuff like that where, and then I had to laugh. I was like, isn't that funny that this is happening in this exact moment? Like, this has to be a teaching moment. This isn't a moment to, like, lose my shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like you were saying, like, the stuff you've been going through, and you're like, okay, like, I need to honor my feelings and rest, but also I need to push myself because it's time to evolve past those old comfort zones.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm grateful that you were kind of able to go through it and acknowledge how you felt, but also kind of be like, well, this is what it is. Let me ask you this. Did you go and did you have a good anniversary weekend after you kind of took the time to acknowledge everything?
I tried to ignore it, and I couldn't. Mm. And then I gave myself some time to, like, really feel it out and then say, okay, like, I think I just needed to get, like, that out of my system.
Mm-hmm.
I can move on, you know, but we don't always, like, allow ourselves that space. And I think when strength comes up, maybe it's like, hey, where can you be a little gentle with your feelings as you're initiating change?
That's a really good way to put it up. Yeah, how can you be strong for yourself right now? Because being strong for yourself looks different at different times. Because sometimes stopping and sitting with your emotions is the strong thing to do. Sometimes it's saying, I feel this way, but this still needs to be done, and staying stuck here and, like, letting it rule my life doesn't help me. It doesn't help the emotions go away, but I still need to say, this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. It's a tricky, tricky ball of wax. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, because it definitely, I think that there's a very connective thread when people can share those kind of things. And I think that in regards to tarot as well, it really helps people understand the concepts more and puts it in a deeper light. So real quick, what are the Stephanie Capone key concepts of each of these cards?
All right, so we discussed that growth and momentum are our key words for the Eight of Wands.
Mm-hmm.
And putting, you know, really, really figuring out what is igniting your spirit and finding that momentum to go and move forward. And you know, sometimes when it's upside down, it's like, where do we pivot? You know, I feel like in the Eight of Cups, it's kind of walking away from emotional experiences that are no longer serving and determining and making the decision to actively step away from things that don't feel good or are no longer in service to us. The Eight of Swords is letting ourselves go from the prisons that we lock ourselves into mentally. Ellie agrees with that. Ellie the Cavapoo wants to play. And the Eight of Pentacles is about that compound effect of showing up and doing the work before we see the tangible results and trusting that we're building something that's lasting.
Mm-hmm. And then the key concept of strength overall was that vulnerability. And what was the other aspect? And just being strong as well.
Yes. There's strong and soft and vulnerable and open.
I love it. Yeah. Thanks so much for going over all of these with me, Stephanie. And thanks everyone for listening. If you want to reach out to us, you can contact Stephanie or myself on Instagram. You can also reach out to me via email. You can get a hold of Stephanie through her website, moonvoidtarot.com. Find me on Facebook. There's like a million ways to get a hold of us. If you don't and you want to, there's no excuse. You can find us. Stephanie, what words do you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Please reach out to us. And also, if you have any questions or ideas and things that you would like us to cover, we're putting together a special kind of episode based around that, about like reversals and cards that you find really difficult to read or combinations. Like, send us those things, because we would love to touch on that stuff.
Thank you for listening. If you love this show, one kind review goes a long way. If you have a question or comment you'd like read on air, please send your email to staff@spiritualphoenixstudios.com or use the link in the show notes.